Some of you have believed that you just add Jesus. There's a lot of churches out there. Hey, just stay the way you are. Just add Jesus and you'll be fine. Well, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose. And Jesus calls upon us to repent.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning from the book of Ezekiel.
Well, first of all, we're going to see a gracious God confront those who think they can claim his promises and yet live like hell. And secondly, we're going to see that there are those, just like Ezekiel's day, that are in the church who love to hear the word of God preached, who love good preaching and teaching, and yet they're not saved. They just enjoy it as if it was a concert or a sensual song. Wow. Well, what am I talking about? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 33 and find out.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. So let me tell you this. If you are one of those 65% that say you are saved and you're going to heaven because God's word says so and you live like hell, I would examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. I don't know your heart, but as I look at these passages, don't be deceived. Those who are identified by their sin because they continually habitually do it are not saved. For you know this with certainty, that no immoral or impure person, covetous man who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Some of you have believed that you just add Jesus. There's a lot of churches out there. Hey, just stay the way you are. Just add Jesus and you'll be fine. Well, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose. And Jesus calls upon us to repent, Luke chapter 24, that we would be forgiven. So then back to our passage. God says twice, in light of their sin, should you possess the land? He said it twice. The obvious answer is no way. You are self-deceived. Self-deceived. These are good passages to help people. You might have relatives or friends that are in terrible churches that they think they're saved. They've been coddled into a false security and they're continuing their sin. They've never been changed by Jesus. That you can graciously show them if they're willing to look at it and graciously allow the Lord to beckon them to repent and believe. So notice instead, back in our passage, they're not going to inherit the land, but they're going to be judged. Verse 27, thus you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as surely as I live, those who are in waste places will fall by the sword. By the way, they've had ample time to repent. God has sent prophet after prophet. They stoned him and killed him, by the way. That's what Jesus said. And Jeremiah has been there for the same time Ezekiel's been there in the exiles. He's been telling them, repent. God doesn't take any pleasure. Say, repent, repent. Turn to the Lord before it's too late. Well, these people saw it and they still have this attitude. He says, in waste places will fall by the sword, and whoever is in open field, I will give them to the beast to be devoured, and those who are in the strongholds in the caves will die of pestilence. And I shall make the land a desolation and waste, and the pride of her power will cease, and the mountains of Israel will be desolate, so that no one will pass through. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I make the land a desolation and a waste because of all their abominations which they have committed. He says, as I live, God is swearing upon his own existence. Thus says the Lord, as I live, the self-existent one. He says, surely those in the waste places, they're going to fall. Either by swords or beasts or pestilence. Those who initially escaped judgment and are now saying, hey, we're going to inherit the land. He said, no, they're not. They're going to be have death by sword, beast, and pestilence. And in that, they're going to know that the Lord is the Lord. You know, let me remind you of what the Lord said earlier in this chapter. We need to continue to remind ourselves of this. He said in chapter 33:11, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, they would turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? What a gracious God. So, yes, he's bringing their judgment physically and, we'll see, eternally. But he doesn't take pleasure in it. They've had ample time. And they are self-deceived. And maybe you're self-deceived. Turn to the Lord before it's too late. He takes no pleasure in judging. I read this passage earlier in Psalm 7, but it talks about if a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. God gives people time to repent. Where has your self-deception taken you? Some people are self-deceived. They're claiming the promises of God. They're saying this is what the gospel says. They're claiming it, and they're living like hell. Do you think you're going to inherit eternal life? That's the case. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he shall reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall reap corruption. The one who sows from the Spirit reap eternal life. Jesus said that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. Luke 24:47. One other passage. Turn to Luke chapter 13. So basically, Pilate, the bad guy, had slaughtered some people and mingled their blood with sacrifices. It was a real abomination to the Jews. And some were coming to Jesus saying, do you hear what happened? Do you hear what Pilate did? And they're wanting Jesus' reaction. And this is his reaction, Luke 13. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will also all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that the 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. This is a passage that causes us to guard our judgmental attitudes when tragedy falls on someone. Some tragedy happens, like here, the tower falling on those people, and you say, oh, they're horrible sinners. That must have been because of that. Well, no, Jesus brings it down to one common denominator. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And notice the result of this judgment. The result is after they're dead, by the way. He says, I'm going to bring this judgment on sword, pestilence, and beasts. They're going to die in the field. And what's the result after that? Then, verse 29, they will know I am the Lord. You see, they would say they followed the Lord. Lord, Lord. They would say they followed the Lord here. We're going to inherit the land. But then when they fall in judgment, they're going to know for sure he's the Lord. And when I make the land of desolation and waste because of all their abominations which they've committed, verse 29, then they're going to know. We've seen this throughout the book of Ezekiel. It's a theme over 63 times. The knowledge of the Lord, then they'll know. And there are two ways in which you can know that Jesus is the Lord. First is through the first coming of Christ who redeems the repentant sinner. And then we know he's Lord. We bow. We obey his word. Okay, he says this. Okay, I want to obey you, Lord. I struggle. I fail. I'm wrong. I agree with you. I agree, and I want to do the right thing. The other way mankind knows he's the Lord is through judgment. And the scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus warns us about these bad churches, bad prophets that trick people into thinking they're saved. And people willingly do so because they continue in their sin. They like it. They choose for themselves people like this. Jesus warns us about this. Turn to Matthew 7. He doesn't want you to fall in judgment. He doesn't want you to. He takes no pleasure in that. He doesn't want that. Matthew 7. But as I read this, if it's bothering you, praise the Lord. Maybe it's convicting you. Praise the Lord. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They come to you in shepherd's garb, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. You'll know the false teachers by their fruits. When you see people that live like hell, that's the fruit of false teaching. Live like hell and think they're saved. And notice what he says right after this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. We're going to see that when you get saved, Christ enables you to do the right thing. Not perfectly, but he enables you to do it. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name, perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You practice sin. Maybe some of you here listening today have prayed a prayer, believe the promise of eternal life, and yet your life has not been changed. Your heart hasn't been changed. Well, today is the day of salvation, and God is gracious. He loves you, and he cares for you, and he takes no pleasure in your death and in your judgment. He wants you to be saved, therefore repent. That's acknowledging, yes, what I'm doing is sin. The way I've lived is sin. I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I need you to save me from my sins. And I believe if I trust in you, I will be delivered from my sins. Lord Jesus, save me. And guess what? If you truly get saved, you're going to have a changed heart, and you're going to have the Spirit of God. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going to have a desire to obey. And his commandments are not burdensome. You're going to have a desire to obey. And when you disobey, you're going to get convicted. So there's the first group. Those people who think they claim the promises of God and live like hell. Well, that doesn't work. It's one last group, and we'll finish up with this. There's a group that actually are self-deceived as exiles here, as we're going to see. And these exiles are around Ezekiel. And guess what? They love Ezekiel's preaching. They love it. And yet, there's a problem. Verse 30. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways and of the houses and speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message which comes forth from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people. Notice these words. And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after gain. And behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, that's the word Ezekiel brings forth, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. Now here's another problem of self-deception. This is the group now of exiles who, now that Ezekiel has been prophesying, and actually it's come true, hey, this is a real prophet guy. We like this. We like this stuff. Everything he said for 8 years came true, and they like it. But yet we don't see any repentance. They are tantalized and titillated by the prophecy. They're tantalized by what Ezekiel says from God, the message of the Lord. Boy, do we see this at times. And what's interesting, this wasn't a false message. This was the true message. This was truly God's word, only God's word. Remember, he was mute. It was only God's word. And they like it. And here, Ezekiel has become the talk of the town. He says here, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and the doorways and the houses speak to one another and each his brother saying, come now. This is the middle of 30, and hear what the message is which comes from the Lord. Let's come here. This is great. They come and they listen. And he says, they come as a people to sit before you, middle of 31, as my people. They say, we're God's people. We're going to come and hear the message of the Lord. It's great. Let's come and listen to it. Oh, have you heard what Ezekiel said? Have you heard that? They talk by the Chaldean water cooler, right? They're telling everybody what's going on. Oh, how wonderful what Ezekiel says. But he's going to say two things. But they do not do them, and they do not practice it, which is interesting. It says, they come to you as people come, sit before you as my people, verse 31, and hear your words, but they do not do them. And he explains, end of 31, for they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after gain. They're lusty, greedy people. Simply put, they seek their own desires and they follow their own will for gain. It's an evidence they're not saved. But this is very interesting. They love to sit under the preaching of good and faithful men. They actually love to hear the word of God, which is very interesting. And yet they're not saved. They tell everybody about it. You know, and I've experienced this, people who rejoice in God's word being rightly divided, and yet when it addresses their personal sin eventually, which it does, oh boy, they don't obey, and they're gone to another church with someone who preaches biblically, as we'll see. You see that. You see that. You see, you're either a hearer that does, or you're a deluded hearer. We read this earlier, but I want to turn back to James. He talks about the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We're to be slow to anger like our Lord. We're to be slow to anger, you know, and those should be convicting. And he says in James 1:21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted which is able to save your souls. The powerful soul-saving word, set aside sin. This should be our practice all the time. Confessing sin, receive the word. Confessing sin, receive the word. That should be our practice. And he says here, but prove yourselves doers. He's not saying you do to get saved. He's saying ultimately that when the word is at work in you, you're going to do. Demonstrate doing. He's going to say here, prove yourselves doers of what? The word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. You got hearers who come in, delude themselves. And these guys in Ezekiel's day, oh, they love it. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man, he's going to give an illustration, who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and for once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. He looks at it, that's who you are, and he forgets who he is immediately. The word has no effect on him. The minute he translates, same thing with these guys. And notice this, it's interesting, verse 32, and behold, this is God telling you what's going on the inside, okay? You are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them. Wow, solid preaching, Ezekiel, the word of God. It was all the word of God. It wasn't even Ezekiel's opinion. His mouth could only open with God's word. And so to these people, he was like a sensual song, someone with a beautiful voice who plays an instrument. It was tantalizing their flesh. And by the way, there's a lot of people in good churches like that. And again, when it addresses their sin, they split and go to another church. We've certainly seen that. We saw it at our old church. And it's interesting. The people that I was most embarrassed by were the people who laid it on thick. Oh, I love this. Oh, such a great sermon. Oh, you know, this stuff. And I'm like, I'm feeling a little weird here, you know, with all this compliments, you know, and they were the same people who eventually, when God's word came around, not me, when God's word came around and addressed sin, that boy, they turned on you quick and they were off to another biblical church. Ezekiel was a performer in their eyes, and church was something that fed their flesh. There are people who love biblical teaching and preaching, and it feeds their flesh. It's kind of scary. Elders, you need to understand that. You need to watch out for that. He says, for they hear your words, end of 32, but they do not practice them. This is what you're going to go up with, Ezekiel. But notice what God says about it. Verse 33. So when it comes to pass, what's that? That's the word that Ezekiel's bringing forth. It actually happens, and surely it will. This is speaking future now. Then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. They're going to know it's not simply a sweet song or something talented. They're going to know that God had spoken through him and they're in deep trouble. That's the implication. When it comes to pass. Game over. You've been sitting in the word of God, listening to it. It's just been experience for you and it hasn't changed your life. When it actually comes to pass what God says, it's game over. There's a day when those who delighted in the performance of those who faithfully preached the word and did not do what was said because they weren't changed. And they should have. Preaching the word's always got the gospel in it. It'll be a day when those who hear it eventually will know that God was speaking to them and they're in eternal trouble. That day will come. Serious stuff. Don't play around with God's word. If my preaching is something that just fills your flesh and that's all it is, you're in a dangerous place. Maybe listening on the radio, whatever it is, delighting simply in it but not obeying it. When we hear the word of God, we should be convicted about it. We should be convicted like, oh man, I failed there. Man, I had a wrong attitude. Whatever. And Lord, help me be different. And I know you will. We should be convicted and changed. It's very perverted to love solid Bible teaching and to not have it affect your heart. Very dangerous. So then, you think you're following Jesus? Do you do what he says, by and large? Do you do what he says? That's an indicator of a changed heart. If you don't do what he says, you continually do your own will, continually habitually sin, then you are a deluded hearer. You are self-deceived and on your way to judgment. And the Lord Jesus takes no pleasure in judging you, but rather that you would turn and live. Turn to him now. He came. He lived the perfect life. He went to the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. You need to acknowledge your sin. You need to turn to Jesus. Lord Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. Truly understanding you're sinful and believing that God took on human flesh and died for your sins. Save me. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he'll give you his spirit and you'll have a changed heart. And you won't be perfect. In heaven you will be, but you won't be perfect now. But you'll have a desire to do what's right. You'll hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you're going to want to do what's right. And you're going to want to obey the Lord. And you're going to know when you fail. But you're going to want to obey him. And God's word's going to feed you and change you, not just tantalize your senses. I want to finish with a portion in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And he also spoke a parable to them, saying, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to take out the speck that's in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree will be known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar brush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks that which fills the heart. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he's like. He is like a man building a house who has dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood rose, the torrent burst against that house. It could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard, that's the word of God, and has not acted accordingly, is like the man who built his house on the ground without any foundation. So it's like hearing the word but not being changed. And so your house is built, seems like it's good. It's not good. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. What's going to happen to your house? What's it built on? I pray it's built on Christ.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Well, my friend, you've heard the truth today. The reality that there is judgment for sin. The soul that sins will die, and we know that it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. But oh, the good news, as we've heard, is that Jesus Christ went to the cross. God took on human flesh, and he went to the cross and bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the full penalty for our sin, and he died for our sins and rose from the dead. So my friend, today, would you turn to Jesus? Would you turn to him and call upon him for salvation?
believing that he paid the penalty for your sins? For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you call upon Jesus today?
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.